Welcome to Bible Education Institute. My name is Reverend Henry Kelly. Today we will be completing the book of Romans, and the last book of Romans is chapter 16, and that's verses 1 through 27. And the title for this section, for this chapter, is Troublemakers. Troublemakers in the church. Alrighty, and before we get started, I'd like to tell you why we can trust the Bible. And I obtained this information from Dr. Vody Bakum, which you can find on YouTube, Great Preacher Teacher. Also, you can put Vody Bakum Ministries in your search engine, and it'll pull it up, and then you can follow him wherever, you know, if you want to hear him speak and stuff like that. And he also helps with a Bible university or seminary in Africa, but he's also, I think he lives in the Dallas area or something like that. But he's very learned. And also, right before we get started, here's some resources that's very helpful in studying the Bible. Flavius Josephus, a military and Jewish historian during the early church, and he lived from AD 37 to AD 100. And it's really helpful to have that because it describes everything that went on. And also, another resource to have is the Matthew Henry Concise Commentary on the whole Bible. And you can get the whole commentary also. But this is just, it's a like shorter version, straight to the point. The other one, for those that really like to, you know, study and get into it, you can get the whole. I would advise you get both. But to begin with, if you're a beginner in studying the Bible, I would suggest that you get the concise one because it's a very quick help, and there's enough information to understand what's happening. And also, you can get the Matthew Henry commentary online for free, and that is www.biblestudytools.com. Go to menu, go to study tools, go to commentaries, down to Matthew Henry commentary on the Bible. Complete is in parentheses, and it's in the modern language, and that will help quite a bit. And so now let's continue in Romans chapter 16. Okay, let's begin. In Romans, the New Testament, chapter 16, I'm going to be using the NIV, New International Version, just to make it a little simpler to understand. I use many versions. Well, not really many, just kind of a handful that I use, that I trust. And the NIV is one of them. And the ones I use are directly translated from the Hebrew for the Old Testament and from the Greek for the New Testament. And then, of course, and also New Testament, it's a little bit in Aramaic, but basically it's the Hebrew and Greek. And which I use, like, I love the King James. That's one I was started on everything. Well, actually, I started on the Living Bible because that was the only simpler one I had when I got started, when I became a Christian and everything, but also the King James. And then later on, after I studied the Living Bible to understand it, because I wasn't used to the King James, then I started using King James and went to a church that used a lot of King James. But this is like back in the 90s. So I just enjoyed that, but also I read from the New King James Version, and the English Standard Version, and the New Living Translation. You know, they're pretty good. Some of them are not, but they're pretty good. Okay, let's begin on Romans chapter 16, starting at verse 1. I commend to you our sister Phoebe, a deacon of the church of Cenchrea. I ask you to receive her in the Lord in a way worthy of his people, and to give her any help she may need from you, for she has been the benefactor of many people, including me. Okay, now, the Bible in 1 Timothy chapter 3 talks about who can be a bishop, which is a pastor, and who can be a deacon, and it's men. But here, for this one time, the specific purpose, the Sister Phoebe was just she was doing the job of a deacon for that time, for that place. But that was not the norm. That's not the norm. That was then. And I think that's where people, they get confused, that they just take certain sections of the Bible, or like Bible verses, and they take that out, and then they take it out of context. But the norm is just men. But for this particular purpose here, she was doing that because she just happened to be learned, and she was there for that reason. Let's continue verse 3. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my co-workers in Christ Jesus. They risked their lives for me. Not only I, but also the churches of the Gentiles are grateful to them. Greet also the church that meets at their house. Greet my dear friend Epaphroditus, who was the first convert to Christ in the province of Asia. Verse 6. Greet Mary, who worked very hard for you. Verse 7. Greet Andronicus and Junia, my fellow Jews, who have been in prison with me. They are outstanding among the apostles, and they were in Christ before I was. Verse 8. Greet Ampliatus, my dear friend in the Lord. Greet Eubanus, our co-worker in Christ, and my dear friend Stachys. Verse 10. Greet Apelles, whose fidelity to Christ has stood the test. Greet those who belong to the household of Aristobulus. Verse 11. Greet Herodian, my fellow Jew. Greet those in the household of Narcissus, who are in the Lord. Verse 12. Greet Tryphenus and Tryphosa, those women who work hard in the Lord. Greet my dear friend Persis, another woman who has worked very hard in the Lord. Verse 13. Greet Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and his mother, who has been a mother to me too. Verse 14. Greet Asyncritus, Philegon, Hermes, Patrobus, Hermas, and the other brothers and sisters with them. Verse 15. Greet Philagus, Julia, Nereus, and his sister, and Olympus, and all the Lord's people who are with them. Verse 16. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the churches of Christ send greetings. So they had built up a good church there, and he was just thanking all the people that were helping him, which I think is fantastic. Verse 17, I urge you, brothers and sisters, to watch out for those who cause divisions and put obstacles in your way that are contrary to the teaching you have learned. Keep away from them. Verse 18, for such people are not serving our Lord Christ, but their own appetites. By soothing talk and flattery, they receive the minds of naive people. Verse 19, everyone has heard about your obedience, so I rejoice because of you. But I want you to be wise about what is good and innocent about what is evil. The God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. The grace of our Lord Jesus be with you. Verse 21. Timothy, my co-worker, sends his greetings to you, as do Lucius, Jason, and Sosipater, my fellow Jews. Verse 22. Tertius, who wrote down this letter, greet you in the Lord. Verse 23, Gaius, whose hospitality I and the whole church here enjoy, sends you his greetings. Erastus, who is the city's director of public works, and our brother Cortus send you their greetings. Wow, it sounds like just like modern times, you know. I mean, they had all that there, but in a different way, from because they didn't have power and all that. But they still had, you know, some semblance of ways to get things done. And it's just kind of interesting to hear that they had public works and stuff. I thought that was pretty good. Verse 25, "Now to him who is able to establish you in accordance with my gospel, the message I proclaim about Jesus Christ, in keeping with the revelation of the mystery hidden for long ages past," verse 26, "but now revealed and made known through the prophetic writings by the command of the eternal God, so that all the Gentiles might come to the obedience that comes from faith." Verse 27, "To the only wise God be glory forever through Jesus Christ. Amen." And that concludes the book of Romans, which is fantastic. Now, next time, we will be starting in 1 Corinthians, which comes after Romans in the New Testament. And I think you will find that very interesting, too, because it has different takes, and it's like in the it's in the Corinthians area. So it's quite interesting. So I'm just going to mark this temporarily. Let me give you some scripture. Romans chapter 3:19, the NIV, New International Version. "Now we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be silenced and the whole world held accountable to God." The NIV, John chapter 14, verse 6. "Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." And that's just how it is. You know, we have to go God's way. You can't go your own way, because it's not going to work. You know, but people try to do that all the time. You know, because they won't. Because we have to come to God humbly like a child. And most people, they don't want to do that, especially when they become adults. And, you know, then they want God to go their way, but it doesn't work that way. Here's some salvation scriptures. Romans chapter 10, verse 9-10, King James Version. "That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised you from the dead, thou shalt be saved." Verse 10, "For with the heart man believeth in righteousness, and with the mouth confession the man salvation." Romans chapter 10, verse 13, King James Version. "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Romans chapter 10, verse 17, King James Version. "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." And so those listening now the first time or whatever, or you've been listening, but you're not a Christian, you haven't committed to God, you know, repented, turned away, and committed to God. Let's go through the Ten Commandments, and this shows you why we need Christ, because we're guilty. Okay, the ninth commandment, "You shall not bear false witness," which means you shall not lie. So let's look at, have you ever lied? Let's be honest. We all have lied, and even as a child, the first time we ever do anything wrong and break God's commands, we're guilty of all of them from then on. So you see, it really doesn't, like, we all got to break these commandments, because remember, God's standards, a holy and mighty God, His standards are high, and ours is very low, because we're okay with sin. You know, we've created a cuddly, fuzzy God that's okay with everything we do, but that's making an idol, which is the second commandment. You shall not make any idols. Or the first commandment, you shall not have no other gods before me, you know. And so that's 1, 2, 3 commandments right there already broken. You don't have to break one to break them all. So you see, that's why we need Christ. We can't keep God's commands, because we're not holy, we're in sin. And it all stemmed back to Adam and Eve, when Eve heard Satan through a snake. And at that time, the snake could stand up and stuff, and so it was talking to her, and she was saying, well, God said we can't touch that one tree there, you know, because it causes death. And he said, did he really say that? So Satan was already using that to confuse confuse Eve like he confuses us today. Same thing, same lies. He'll go in there and say, well, did God really say that, or did he say this? And then he puts all this other stuff. And that's why we fall into all these sins and temptations and stuff. And look what's going on in our nation right now in America, and actually around the world, because America's pushed all this stuff. Right now they're like they're murdering children. Now they want to decide, well, can we start murdering at, you know, 6 weeks or 18 weeks or whatever? No, it's murder. You're murdering, killing the child. You know, they said, what about rape? Well, so you get raped, you get pregnant. Not that a rape is not serious. Of course it's serious. But I'm just saying, why would you penalize the child that had nothing to do with it? You know what I mean? So, I mean, it's still life, and it's God's life. And, you know, murdering a child is not, it's not a fix to what happened. So if nothing else, you can either raise the child or you can put it up for adoption. There's a lot of good families that would like to adopt children because they can't have any, you know. And I know going through it is hard and stuff, but that's, you know, life is hard. And doing the right things is hard. But like I said, you know, murdering a child because that happens, this should be no, it's no excuse to murder that baby. It's not the baby's fault. You know what I mean? And all children are blessings, you know. It's like we, we need a mind change. To where, you know, I stop looking at things negative and look at things positive, and look at things how God looks at things. You know what I mean? God has mercy and grace on us 24 hours a day when we don't even deserve it, you know. And then out of convenience or because something happened, then we want to kill a child. No, you don't do that. No, you know. So that's, you know, part of you know, thou shalt not murder. And also, according to, for the sixth commandment, you shall not murder. Jesus said, if you hate someone, you've already committed murder in your heart. And the seventh commandment is, you shall not commit adultery. And Jesus says, if you look at a woman, if you look at a person with lust, you've already committed adultery in your heart. You see, so we're already guilty. So if God was to judge us by his Ten Commandments, would we be innocent or guilty? Would be guilty. Heaven or hell? It would be hell. And hell, and the other versions, it's Hades. It's the same thing. It means hell. It's the place of everlasting torment with fire and pain and being tormented, you know, demonically with the fallen angels and stuff. Well, yeah, it's really bad. Really bad. You know, then you could also say, well, I just don't believe in God. And I've heard this too. Well, if God's such a loving God, why would he do that? Okay, well, so if somebody came to your house and murdered your whole family, and then they tied you up and made you watch them slowly rape and slowly torment and murder your family, would you want justice? Or you say, oh, no problem, everything's great. You would be upset, and you would want justice. You would want something to happen to them. You want consequences, right? Well, a good God has to give consequences, because God is also the judge of the universe. You know, he is the main judge. So a good God has to punish evil. So when you do something evil, is that? So like I have, and I hear a lot of atheists who reject God completely say, well, there's no God, but, and you don't need God to be moral. Well, yes, you do, because morals come from God. Right and wrong comes from God. You know, not stealing, not murdering, not lying, not wanting what somebody else has, which is coveting, and honoring your mother and your father, which is the fifth commandment. That comes from God. Our laws come from God. The way we're supposed to judge people and to penalize evil, And wrongdoing comes from the Bible. So everything comes from God, which is his Bible. So if you reject God and say there is no God, then there's no morals, according to you. So they want to borrow from God, but then they reject God because it's convenient. Because they don't want someone to that they have to answer to for their wrongdoing and sin. It's like they want to do whatever they want to do, you know, sex without marriage, drink drugs, whatever it is they want to do, kill people, whatever, you know. And they don't want any consequences, but life doesn't work that way, you know. And even among atheists, because God has wrote his Ten Commandments on our hearts, that's why we automatically know lying is wrong, murder is wrong, cheating on your wife is wrong, and then fornication, that's not that goes along with adultery, but fornication is having sex without marriage, you know. So everybody wants the good or like the sinful stuff that feels good, but they want no consequences, or they want to steal and rob and all this stuff, no consequences. No, without that you have chaos and you don't have a society. Everybody will do what's right in their own eyes, and they'll end up destroying each other. So they just wipe each other out, because that's what people do, because we're evil. Because because the first man and woman, Adam and Eve, they sinned against God. First it was Eve. She took the fruit that God, or took the fruit from the tree that God said not to take, because the devil came as, or Satan, the devil came as a snake that walked back then and had confused her and got her to rebel against God and go against God. All that Eve went to Adam and manipulated him to also do the same thing. So now they're both in the same place of sin. So that's what happened. And that's, you know, this is just like, you know, why do we have different languages? Well, if you read in the Bible, in the book of Genesis, I think it's chapter 10 or 11. It talks about the Tower of Babel, where during that time, men's hearts were evil and stuff, and they were working together and had one language, and they were building a tower to heaven, and because the king was real evil, and he wanted to be like God, you know. You know how those people want to be like God, and you know they want all the power. The more power they get, the worse they get. And it's like the more money you get, the greedier you get. Not everybody, but a lot of people are like that. Like they get power hungry or whatever. But so God came down, and with the Son and Holy Spirit, and so they came down during that time and saw that they could do whatever, and so God confused their mouths to where they all had, like they have so many people per group. I'm gonna have one language, so they'd have to. So what happened is, so they got confused in the language, and only like certain people had the same language. So they had to go in that group and go off and start all brand new, because all these people were working together. And because this is, because the hearts and minds are evil. Like, you know, we're born into that. And so automatically we have, to go to heaven, to be with God, we have to go God's way, which is through Christ, his Son. So anyways, so that's why we need God. You know, and then, like, if we want to go to heaven, then we have to look at, well, what did God's Son do for us that we wouldn't have to go to hell if we chose not to go to hell? And he came, and he walked, he lived as a human, still God, but in human form, for 33 years, and then he preached for 3.5 years, the gospel, which means the good news about that we can go to heaven through him and repentance. That's the gospel. And then he went on the cross to be the one-time sacrifice, because before that they would have to do animals and stuff like that for the blood, because that's just how it was. So he went and he did the one-time sacrifice so that all mankind could come through him to heaven. So now we can come by humbling ourselves as a child, realizing we've broken God's moral law, the Ten Commandments, and asking God for forgiveness and mercy, and come with a sorrowful, contrite heart because we've sinned, and then putting the trust we had in ourselves and transferring that trust to Christ alone and start serving Him. You can't earn your way, you can't work your way. It's a free gift of God because we're too evil. So we have to. So there had to be a mediator, which is Christ. He came because we can't save ourselves. So He came so we can go to heaven through Him. That's about the simplest way I can put it. So if we humble ourselves before God, realize we've broken God's moral law and the Ten Commandments, we can repentance means to turn away from sin, ask for forgiveness, and then put your trust in Christ alone. And start reading the Bible. I would suggest you start in the New Testament, the book of John, and get the basics. And when you get that done, then go start at Matthew and finish the New Testament. And now you have to remember the book of Revelations is an allegory. Okay, that's a story with a meaning, because John, who wrote the book, they call him John the Revelator, but John, he was talking to the early church back then, the church at that time. And people are confused because there is a, there's like a lot of false teachings. And so a lot of the church has grabbed onto that, and it's messed up the eschatology. Eschatology is the study of end times. And theology is the study of God in the Bible. So if you have your theology and your eschatology wrong, then that's when you drift out into the weeds, and you know you don't know how to rightly divide the Word of God. So learning how to divide the Word of God is called hermeneutics, and there's like certain categories like a literal, allegory, a literature, poetry, stuff like that. And then from there, and then I would suggest you try to find a good Bible-believing teaching church, which is can be hard in these days because a lot of the churches have turned from the Bible and stuff, and they're just, I don't even know why they bother, but they're not teaching the Word of God anymore. Some of those pastors in those churches don't even believe in God. I'm like, so why are you there? Yeah. Anyways, let me give you some... So before I give you the resources, I would suggest that you know, if you're serious about God, you want to go to heaven, then ask... Just talk to God. It's prayer. It's called prayer. It's talking to God and just, you know, come to Him as a child in repentance and ask... and ask for forgiveness and put your trust in Christ alone, which is repentance. Repentance is turning from God. It's giving your heart to Christ, as some say. Okay, let's do resources. You can find Dr. Vody Bachum on YouTube. Also, I'm going to give you like all these people you can find on YouTube and on their website. Living Waters, Ray Comfort, livingwaters.com. Dr. R.C. Sproul, Ligonier Ministries, and on YouTube. Ashes in Genesis with Ken Hammond, AshesInGenesis.org. Well Builders with David Barton, wellbuilders.com. He also has a daily radio program. I think it's Monday through Friday. You can catch him live, or you can put in Well Builders Radio, and you can listen to, you know, like previous recording stuff. It's really good. You'll learn a lot. Dr. Walter Martin, waltermartin.org. Also, Pastor Jeff Durbin of Apologia Studios, apologiastudios.com. You can go on to this website, apologiastudios.com, and go to Greg Bonson or Bonson U, who's a great Bible professor. And when he died a while back, his family donated all of his audio teachings and everything, and so they've remastered it, stuff so you can literally get a free seminary education, and I think that's fantastic. If you'd like to correspond with us, our email is all lowercase bibleeducationinstitute@gmail.com. We have just a very simple website, kind of cheap, and this also should be a link at the bottom. where you can just click on it. But it is 5 lowercase d lowercase b lowercase e 1182 lowercase e 5831 dot site. It's all lowercase, site 123 dot and lowercase me. Or like I said, look in the information sections below and there should be a link to that. And if you'd like to contribute, we'll have a link to that too. Now, let me tell you where you can find us at. We are on YouTube Rumble and on the audio podcast. We're on Listen Notes, Luminary Podcast, Player FM, Helium Radio Network, heliumradio.com, Spotify, Apple, Amazon, Amazon Music, Overcast, Chrome, Gpod, Firefox, Safari, iTunes, Audible, Alexa, Google, Podbean, Internet Explorer, Podcast Addict, and others. And again, let me give you some more good teachers. Doug Wilson, and this is on, you can find them on YouTube. Doug Wilson, Gary DeMar, Pastor Jeff Durbin, Dr. James White on YouTube, and he's with Apology Studios. Pastor Joel Webben with Right Response Ministries, Dr. R.C. Sproul, and so forth. And also, you can find Baba Education Institute on Telegram, Getter, Twitter, Facebook, and Gab. And here's some more resources. I get books online. I like a lot of used books if I can get it in good condition. Abe Books, A-B-E-B-O-O-K-S, Thrift Books, Amazon, and Alibris, A-L-I-B-R-I-S. And also, whatever you're looking for, you can just put it like on the search engine, it'll pop up a lot of sellers, but these are just some I go to. And then also, another good resource is you can go to your search engine and put in the TCT Network. And there's one program that is really good that you can get. You can go to on-demand programs. It's called Faith and History with William Federer. Great Christian history historian. And he does American and all the world. It's really fantastic. And then for the Old Testament, this person used to be on TCT, but he's no longer there. You can find him on YouTube. And that's Ancient Jewish Wisdom with Rabbi Daniel Lappin. And he can help you a little bit with the Old Testament. He makes it kind of interesting. And his wife also. And they do a lot of, like, you know, applying the Bible to your, or at least the Old Testament to your life. I don't even know if they're Christians, but I know that they cover the the Old Testament, but they work with Christians for sure. And also, you can go to his audio podcast, RabbiDanielLappin.com, and Susan Lappin, his wife, and that's their website, and she's got a blog. And also, you know, you can find his audio podcast, would be Rabbi Daniel Lappin podcast, and on YouTube. And so that concludes that. And so remember, read your Bible daily without fail and do what it says.